Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, a show for, by, and about baby boomers. It's the podcast for people who have no idea how to download a podcast. And now, here's your host, Dale Irvin.
Thank you, Farad, and welcome everybody to Another Day Above Ground. It's the podcast for you, the baby boomer. And if you're not a boomer and you're listening, welcome. We want to, we're going to share all the information you have so that you know what you're headed towards. Anyhow, it's been another week. We're all still in lockdown, still going flipping crazy. And thank goodness on this show, we don't have to do it alone, because I have two partners that help me through this and will help you too. From the state of Indiana, please welcome the Aristotle of comedy, Mr. Tim Slagle.
Rumors persist that Elizabeth Warren might be Joe Biden's choice for VP, but inside sources claim she doesn't pass the smell test.
What?
and questioning that is our House liberal coming to us from Denver, Colorado, Carolyn Strauss.
Wow, that was an interesting political topic. I don't understand. Anyway, I'm going crazy being in, not going out. So, you know how I can't cook? I still can't cook. Who burns brownies? The thing about brownies, you can't tell when they're done because the burnt part looks the same as the not burnt part. It's all the same color. So, yes, I burnt brownies. And you know what? They taste just as good as the unburnt ones. I just have to admit it.
The kitchen timer is a big help for knowing when the brownies are done.
You have to measure the pan. I can't do math and cook. So apparently I used a pan that was too big and the brownies were too thin. And so they burned. Yeah, but I like burned brownies.
So rather than
Nobody else does.
Rather than a brownie pan and a timer, you're using a cake pan and the smoke alarm.
Yes. Well, yeah, this whole thing, I'm not in any hurry to go outside, because as soon as you do, you're going to be attacked by the murder wasp. This thing, it's the size of a freaking sparrow, for crying out loud. But the good news, as I posted today, is that the wasps do not carry, or nor do they have COVID-19, so they can still kill you, but they're not going to make you sick. But
it's kind of interesting. Everybody's saying, "Oh, that's just a bunch of hooey. It's just people trying to scare you." And it's like, yeah, that's what they said about the killer bees, and look what happened there, huh?
And it's the Asian murder wasp. You know, everything's coming from over there. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, although I pretend to be. And I think that, I don't know. Somebody needs to look into it before it gets even worse. But
no, I am not giving up my cold sesame noodles for anything or anybody. I don't care what anybody says.
Is that the nickname for your boyfriend? Or
yeah, it's his rap name.
It's cold sesame noodles.
Hot Szechuan pancake. Now there's a boyfriend.
Well, hopefully this will all get taken care of. Who knows when, and who knows how much more we got to go through. But one of the ways to try and get around this is by doing something different, something you've never done before, like perhaps creative thinking and thinking how creativity can take you to the next level. And we happen to have a guest today who is ideal and perfect to think, or not ideal and perfect, is the perfect guest. I don't know if he is ideal. We'll ask him to talk about creative thinking when you're older. Ed Prentice has started something that I think we can all take advantage of. He formed the group called Creageless, which is creative ageless people, or how to be creative after age 40. Did I get that correct, Ed?
Yeah, you sure did. As creative as you want to be after age 40, I guess.
Well, and that's terrific. And what are there certain things that you have to follow in order to be more creative, or do we have, God forbid, I hope we don't have to eat kale.
No, no, that's not on the Courageous menu, but I will tell you that the more I've talked to people, this started about maybe just about 8 months ago. And the more I talk to people, what's interesting is I think it's almost kind of strange in that the older the people are that I talk to, the more they let go of a lot of things and the more willing they are to step out and be creative and take on different projects. It's kind of wild how that's sort of happened. I think when you're 40 and 50, you're kind of still worried about a lot of things that by the time you hit 70 something, it kind of changes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who cares what anybody thinks?
Yeah. 40s and 50s, you're still worried about getting the kids through college. When you give that 10 years and then you're looking for stuff to do.
Yeah, exactly. I just talked to a 76-year-old dance instructor. She teaches tap and actually teaches my daughter's class. And she's teaching 3 or 4 nights a week using Zoom. I was helping her set up on Zoom. And just to listen to the story she would tell, but her whole outlook was so calm about things and so much more full of perspective than I think when you're in the middle of it. And it's funny because when you're 40 and you're talking to a 20-year-old and you're listening to all their things, they seem kind of wound up. And then all of a sudden you switch it and you're the one that's in the other side of it. So that's been kind of interesting for me to sort of see how that plays out amongst the generations.
Can I ask a question, Ed?
Yeah.
What are you noticing a difference between men over 40 being creative and women over 40 being creative? Is there a gender difference?
You know, that's an interesting question. I would say no. I think men, maybe from what I've noticed, have started a little later because they're probably still kind of caught up in what's their job and what's their career. But I've seen a significant number of men who have gone into art, photography, writing, finally doing the thing that they've wanted to do. I would say that maybe women, if anything, and this is all anecdotal, have been exploring those things a little sooner and have been looking for those creative outlets maybe sooner than some of the men. But it's interesting. I think it's not necessarily a gender thing that I've been noticing as much as there's almost a flow to what's happening in their lives at the time. And the people I've talked to have kind of come to a crossroads where they're either going to change what they're doing and do new things and take on new projects, or in some cases, unfortunately, they kind of pull back and maybe just kind of accept where they're at. And that's kind of what I've been noticing. And I don't know that it's been gender specific.
Hmm. Now, Creageless is a group on Facebook. I just recently joined myself. And so what do people get out of that group? Is it just like a forum, a meeting place for creative people, or?
Yeah, so we have a Facebook group, and that's free for anybody to come on in and check it out. And it's a private group. They just have to go through and register through our site at courageous.com. They can go in and just sign up for that, and then we accept them in. Dale, I saw your invitation go out, and I saw you come in, so welcome. And I believe Carolyn and Tim as well, so I appreciate you guys coming on in. And that's just an open forum, and people can ask questions and talk about whatever they've got on their mind if they choose to, or read any of the articles that we're starting to put out content. Again, you know, we're still in our infancy, so we're in the process of putting out different kinds of content. And then if somebody's really wants to take it to the next level, we do have these peer groups, these mastermind groups that they can pay a monthly subscription to and be part of it. And those have been pretty exciting too. I've been watching those take off in the last few months as far as what members have been able to accomplish and what they've been able to explore. So really, it's as much as you want to do or as little as you want to do. I can say that the type of people that are coming in, the reason it started with sort of creativity in mind is because, you know, my background primarily is in advertising. And I've noticed that so many of the people that I've talked to over the years they overlap with music and comedy and acting and all of these, and art and crafts and all these kind of things. And then I also noticed that I had other friends who were not in what would be normally defined as a creative industry that wanted to get into something creative. Well, in fact, in one of the peer groups, I have a gentleman that wanted to get into comedy, and that's how I ended up getting in touch with Tim. And it's not like he's looking for a new vocation. It's just something he wanted to explore. He's always wanted to do. He's got some time. And now he's like, how do I even start? Where do I start? So there's a lot of overlap, you know, whether it's people that are in a creative industry or that are outside of a creative, so-called creative industry, that want to maybe doing something more creative with their life. And if I were to break it down into the groups that I, or the people that I talk to, the first group is people that are in career transition. They either, they've been laid off and they're not sure what to do, or they want to do something different.
So now it's everybody.
Basically.
Now it's everybody.
Well, and you know, you can't avoid the fact, Carolyn, of you know, of ageism in a lot of creative industries, that takes its toll, right? And people get nervous and people are hanging on, and then all of a sudden, you know, they get bumped and they don't know what to do, they don't know where to go, and they start to get concerned. So usually the people I talk to are either in that category where they're in a career transition, whether they've been laid off or they're just done. They're done with what they're doing. They want to do something else. I have a person in our Courageous group, one of our groups, peer groups, that is planning to open a bed and breakfast when they retire, her and her husband. So right now she's working through that to figure out what she needs to do to put it all together, working on her business plan. And so that's her project in the group. Now she's got a great job. She likes her job. No problems there, but she wants to move on at some point and transition into that. So that first group is career transitioners. The second group are entrepreneurs. And she would probably overlap into that too. People who want to start their own business, maybe go out and freelance or consult, and they're just not going to do the 9-to-5 thing anymore. That's just not what they want to do. But maybe they've never had their own business. I talked to one woman recently who has a design firm, has her own business, but has kind of been trapped in a bubble and hasn't gotten out and met other people. She's been doing it for so long, she's kind of got a small circle. And then the third group, I've met some really interesting people. But in this group, I met a guy in Louisville, and he was a retired military colonel from the Army. And he was like, well, listen, I've been commanding troops in combat zones for 20 something years. Now I'm done. What do I do? You know, I don't need the money. I'm okay. I've got a pension and everything. But what do I do now? And he was just looking for something to do, to give back. And interesting story for him is he actually started a Shakespearean troupe or something. I don't know what you call that, for veterans, retired veterans. And then also has recently gone back to teach at an inner city school. So, you know, just super neat people that are all have different goals, either his career, entrepreneur, or service is what we call it. So those are the kind of people that I'm talking to.
See, I would have thought, you know, somebody right out of the service like that I would have recommended Walmart greeter, you know. Hey, over there, put that dirt back. Come on, you slobs.
You know, it's kind of funny because that's the joke I get. You know, the Walmart greeter thing is kind of everyone's default plan. So Walmart's got a open... That's all I hear. Everyone's out buying blue and yellow vests.
The interesting thing about being creative over 40 is, you know, a lot of people think, you know, and especially the people that purchase, you know, purchase art and purchase actors and things like that, that youth is celebrated. But, you know, when you're young, it's like, well, I got something to say. No, you really don't. You know, what does your art say? My art says curfews suck. Okay.
Like seeing a 10-year-old kid singing My Way.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure that 76-year-old thought the same to me. You know, whatever I was maybe complaining about on the phone call. It is interesting. I think here's the interesting thing. When it first started, the way it started is, I think you guys know that I teach advertising and design to students, and I've been talking to students for over 20 years. And when I talk to them, they're kind of stressed out because they're trying to break into a new business and they're worried about their future and their finances and their career. And they've got pressure from their spouses and their partners and their parents. And they're, you know, some of them may even have kids. They're in this sort of mid to late 20 age. And I've been talking to people there for decades. Now I move forward in my personal last job transition. I was out meeting some of my friends and networking like everybody does. And I'm talking to my friends and they're like, well, what are they worried about? They're worried about their career, their future, their finances, all the same things that I have been talking to 20 somethings forever. And that's when I was like, well, I've been helping these people get jobs for a long, long time and kind of figure out where they want to go. Can I do something for my own peer group? And that's where Courageous really came from, is that I saw people in my group struggling and people a lot older than I am going through the same sort of process. And I was trying to figure out what's the advantage, you know, and when you're younger, when you're in your 20s, your advantage is you got a little wiggle room, right? You got a long runway and you can make some mistakes, you figure, and whatever, you're invincible. And so you got all that going for you. And when you're older, what do you got going for you? Well, what we have going for us is I found in my job search and when I was looking at what I was going to do next, I know a lot of people. And I'm sure that the three of you know a lot of people. And when you put all those people together, that's a whole lot of people. And that's a big edge that we have. And so if I reach out and I'm 50 something or 60 something and I need to get a hold of somebody, I can get a hold of a pretty probably significant person at a pretty senior level and just pick up the phone or because yeah, we use the phone. I'm not going to text them and actually talk to that person.
Good for you.
And we can all help each other. And that's the basis of the courageous peer groups. If I'm 20 something, yeah, I might be able to reach out to like a bartender or a hostess that I've worked with at Applebee's last year, but I don't have the same network yet. And that's a broad statement. But the one advantage that we have as we move through our lives and through our careers is the people that we know and we surround ourselves with. And so Courageless was meant to bring those kind of people together to help each individual in the group get to where they need to go next. Because the other thing is, once you hit 40, 50, 60, whatever, you don't want to ask anybody for help. That's like, who wants to ask anybody for help, right? And this is the one time we all have help to give. We can all.
I like to have my meat cut up. You know, I'll ask for that help. But
that's joy of being a vegetarian, Dale.
That's true, though. You know, it's like the grandpa mentality. I don't have to ask anybody. I'll figure it out. And when you have a pool of people that you can ask, that's, you know, that are in the same general age group, I think that's a great plus. Great thing. You know, I used to be you said you're in advertising, too. I spent 10 years in advertising, and I'm kind of proud of the fact I came up with the creative slogan, good to the last drop. Now, unfortunately, I came up with it for the Otis Elevator Company, so it didn't get really a lot of play. But that's one of my favorite there jokes. I love it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting, too. What I've noticed, too, is other people want other people's jobs. So, you know, I've got people who are like, I really wanted to do voice work. And I'm talking to people who do voice work and they're going, oh, my God, this business is changing. It's crazy. You know, I've got people that want to be comedians. I know you guys have done comedy and you're probably like, oh, my God, run away, you know. And right now I'm working. I have a 54-year-old writer that's looking at breaking into advertising. And, you know, who does that? So it's interesting that everybody wants everybody else's gig. And I think there just comes a time when whatever you're doing, you can get played out. I mean, you've been doing it for 20 or 30 years and it's perfect for the next person, but maybe not for you. And it's just time for a refresh. So I see a lot of that. The irony is people, and the reason I set it up for 40 is because we talked about whether it would start at 50 is because I think if you're 40 and if anyone's listening here, they're probably, you know, not supposed to be based on the boomer demographic, but
well, they're welcome to.
Yes, we love them.
Welcome everyone.
They'll be us soon.
Yeah. I think it's important that they realize that if you're 40, you can still control a lot more than you. Every decade goes by, you lose a little bit of different, you're running out of different opportunities that you might be able to take on. And if you're 40 and you're in the middle of a career track, that's the perfect time to go ahead and do something on the side or start looking for what your passion is going to be. Because if you wait, I talked to someone who was thinking about being in the group and they're like, no, I'm going to wait until I do this. I go, what's going to happen? I go, the day is going to show up and you're going to walk out and go, now what do I do? And the woman that I mentioned that's working on the bed and breakfast, she totally gets that because now she's got 4 or 5 or 6 years to build out a business plan, make sure it's what they want to do, make sure they can afford it. And even if they never pull the trigger on it, they've explored the entire thing. As opposed to waiting 5 or 6 years and then going, oh, let's do a bed and breakfast, honey.
And then trying to learn how to cook eggs. I mean, they're not easy.
Exactly. So you know, if someone, you know, we've got some people that are younger that have come in. I have a media person coming in that's in his 30s, but totally buys into it and has been super helpful already, helping me with some things. And, you know, intergenerational participants are totally welcome in our group.
What kind of people are running the groups? Are you running all the groups yourself or do you have people that are running them?
Well, right now, since we're so new, we have two groups that are going and I facilitate both of those. And I have key people in each group that I'm working with to they'll eventually facilitate. Hopefully, you know, as the groups grow. And if they don't, then that's fine. They keep me busy a couple days a week. And it's already, you know, it's interesting to see how it works, because I've been in, I don't know if you guys have been in any of these kind of groups before or whatever. And when I was younger and I had my own business, I was in a group that I paid a lot of money for. And all I did was I got there and all I heard about was somebody, you know, business professionals telling me about their divorces and about their, you know, their kids going to college. And I was 20 something going, I don't, this isn't helping me. I need to know how to sign a lease, you know, with a building landlord or something for my company. And so I really work hard, and we work hard as a group to not, we're very social and everyone's become friends, and people, as we've been doing this about 20 weeks, I've been sharing their moments. But I think it's also important to realize that you're in the group to get something done. And everyone has a project, and every week we get homework assignments. And the big thing is, so if we were all in the group together, my role in the group is to come back and tell you what I did that week. But it's also to go, how can I help? Tim, what are you working on? How can I help you? You know, what are you trying to accomplish? Dale, what do you got going on? And so everyone in the group is really responsible for helping the other people in the group with something, a network, a connection, some advice. I reviewed one person's portfolio last week. Tim, the reason we met is because one of the guys in the group was looking at getting into comedy. So I happened to be in DC. There was an open mic night. I went there. I didn't perform, obviously, but I sat there and got abused by some comics. I now know not to sit in the front. And but I came back with some information for the gentleman in my group, and he got all excited, and he went to an open mic in Louisville and met some people there. And basically what happened is I'm looking at putting together a panel of comedians for people in our group who may want to learn more about comedy. And as I was doing that, I mentioned to another person who is actually in user experience, completely different. And I said, hey, I'm doing this thing. He asked me about CourageLess. And I said, here's an example. And he goes, well, I have a bunch of friends that are in comedy. And that, Tim, that's how we got connected. Corey reached out to you. You reached out to me. And next thing you know, I'm on here. And, you know, who knows where this leads to. And then I know we're working on a podcast that will launch. I'd love to have you guys come on, you know, in the fall when that goes. And that's the power of these connections, when you're actively trying to help each other get somewhere, you know. And so that's what I get excited about.
Can you tell me a little bit about BrainCo, your other company? That's where you teach advertising or teach brain work. What is that?
Yeah, a long time ago, I was in my 20s, and I was helping. My boss didn't like to look at portfolios, which is where, you know, that's how you get a job, right? So he asked me to do it, and I was the only person there, so I guess it's me. I'll look at them, and I started seeing portfolios where people were really close to getting a job, or to having a portfolio that was complete that would get them a job, but they weren't quite there yet. And there was one guy in particular that came in, and I was like, I don't know where he goes now. Like, where do you go to work on this stuff? You know? And so I had a bunch of people come through, and I invited five or six of them over to my apartment complex. We had a little party room over there, and we got pizza, and we just worked on our portfolios. And I started doing that once a week, because they came back, and then more people came, and then more people came, and it got kind of crazy where I had like 20 people that were doing this thing, and they threw me out of the party room. So I had to get a little office space. So we had a little bit of money to rent a space. And that's how BrainCo came about. It ended up, after a few years, I turned it into a postgraduate school for people in advertising, graphic design, that wanted to break into the business. So that's what I meant before when I said I've been working with people for a very long time. That are trying to make some kind of life change.
Now, when I was in advertising, I know we spent a great deal of time after work drinking. And is that something that you prepare them for too?
Yeah, they're pretty heavily prepared for that. I think they take those credits on their own. They're always working extra hours on those projects. So
you waited till after work, Dale? It's
he was younger then.
Now, Ed, I was looking through all your information and your website, and two things just bounced out at me that I just want to ask you about. You made at one time an 87-yard putt. I mean, what was that? I mean, did you knock it in from the parking lot after it went out of bounds and the putt?
No, it was actually on hole number 4. And I can't chip. I can't hit an iron at all. I don't really golf that well. So I would putt pretty much from anywhere. And I putted this thing. I can putt from 100 yards out. That's kind of my safe spot. And so I putted this thing. It goes up over the hill, and this guy goes, "Holy crap, that went in." And we all went, and it did go in. And I think it might be a world record, but I don't know. You know, and about 3 months later, I did it again. So they gave me a hard time because I'd hit a putter off the tee. I didn't bat it. But that's sort of my non-official Guinness Book of World Records accomplishment, I think.
Would you have, like, in your bag, just two clubs, a putter and a backup putter?
Yeah, I call it my long putter, and it's actually because I broke one doing it, so I actually have one that's pretty sturdy for that exact purpose.
And the second thing that stood out to me is you were in the Dodgeball World Cup. I didn't even know they had that. I thought the Dodgeball World Cup was something that you wore while you played dodgeball. I had no idea it was that big of a sport.
Yeah, it's crazy. About 20 years ago, I started the National Dodgeball League at the school. It was in a warehouse. We had some space, so I started a league there. And then when the movie broke, everything got crazy and people started emailing us. So I had the first world championship in Las Vegas. We did it for about 12 years. And then I got a contact from a guy in England who asked if I would help them set up the World Dodgeball Association. So we did that. So I represent North America in the sport of dodgeball at this point in my life. So I got that going for me. And then I was supposed to play at the garden. I was at Madison Square Garden, and I blew my knee out in the qualifiers. So I ended up hosting that. It went on ESPN The Ocho. So we got a lot of coverage for that.
Wow, that's incredible. What country has the best dodgeballers?
Well, I'm going to say the U.S., even though we didn't win. So it depends. Without getting too complicated, they have different styles of play. They use different types of balls too, so it's all different.
The Iranian team uses hand grenades.
They're easy to catch, but the payback is not fun.
You should combine it with golf and have those little balls get thrown at people trying to catch them. Oh my god, you could do it with a putter. It's like dodge golf.
And see, there's a creageless idea right there. Dodge golf.
It's just what I'm going to do. I'm going to start dodge golf.
Ed, thank you so very much for being with us. This was great. Do you, if people have listened to this and they want to get more information on you and on Creageless, where should we send them?
Yeah, anybody who's interested, like I say, can come into the Facebook group, and or if they want to be a member and join a peer group, that's fine too. All that information is on our website. It's creageless.com. That's creageless.com. And if they have any questions about anything, they can reach out to me directly. And we really are working with a lot of people right now that before this all hit, we weren't dealing with as much career transition. It was mostly people who were just looking for new challenges to take on and to be around other people in the peer groups. But, you know, obviously now there's some transition happening. And what we're doing is we're doing a pay it forward membership delay, so that if someone comes in and they've been laid off or they're just having a hard time financially, they can come in to a group without having to worry about that. And they can push that down the road for 5-6 months, whatever it takes, so they can get themselves back on track. And then we ask them to kind of help somebody behind them. So if they go to creageless.com, they can find out whatever information they want. And if we can be of any help, we're totally glad to do that.
Cool. I think we're going to use it just to find out. Our problem is how to get more listeners. So we're going to use Creageless to figure out. And
water's warm.
Okay. Ed Prentice, thank you so very much for joining us here on another day above ground.
Thanks, guys.
And Ed has a special offer for any of our listeners who are interested in tapping into their creativity. Please go to, grab a pencil, write this down, Creageless.com. That's creageless.com/another day. That's all lowercase. Keep it easy for you. And you do that, you'll get two free guest sessions to a CreageLess Platinum peer group. This is a great opportunity for you in appreciation for you listening to Another Day Above Ground. Once again, CreageLess.com/another day for your CreageLess experience. Well, we'd like to thank Ed Prentice for his time. That man, that was fantastic and gave us a lot of good ideas. And our idea right now is that it's time to close the show. So I'm going to ask Carolyn, do you have any final words for the folks?
So he's got me thinking, and now that we've talked about golf dodgeball or golf dodge, I'm actually thinking about tennis brownie. If I cut those brownies into little round circles and start hitting them at people with a tennis racket, that could be something creative to do.
Okay, I'm sure he'd be proud that that's the idea he gave you. Tim, any last words from you?
Hey, I got a gig booked.
In person with people?
Hopefully, yeah. Whether it goes off or not, we'll find out soon. But June 19th and 20th at CG's Comedy in Bolingbrook, Illinois. So
cool.
It's at the whim of Governor Pritzker whether that'll happen now. But hopefully,
I got two cyber deals this week.
Oh, wow.
Where I get to sit in on a cyber meeting and then mock them. So I go, oh, man.
Congratulations.
My dream has come true. I can work without wearing pants. That's the perfect thing.
Always been a dream.
And what was your excuse before?
I forgot.
Also, you can
and
check
Tim,
out my
other podcast.
You can check out my other podcast, Rule of Three, with Ben Washburn and Tim Slagle.
Also a very funny podcast. And go to DaleIrvin.com. You can sign up for free for the Friday Funnies. And go to our website, AnotherDayAboveGround.com. And you can leave us a message. Would you like to be a guest like Ed Prentice? Well, leave us a message on what you have to say, and we'll be happy to chat with you. But until then, go out and enjoy the day, even if you have to be indoors, because after all, it is another day above ground. See you next week.
And that's it for Another Day Above Ground. For Dale, Tim, and Carolyn, I'm Farad Muhammad. Thanks for listening.